Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church weekly sermon. We hope you enjoy this message by Jackie Nelson. For more information about this podcast or for other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Friends, if I were to ask you to write out all of the things that are currently competing for your attention in life, or to list all of your commitments, how long would it take for you to name God? Would serving God make it on your list? Would God make the list at all? Now, truthfully speaking, if I were to invite us to take a moment right now to write out all of the things that are currently competing for our attention or that we identify as commitments in our lives, I imagine we'd run out of room. We'd probably begin by listing those things we deem mandatory: job, school, bills, our budget, family, friendships and relationships, exercise, church, and probably our pets. I imagine we'd then move to a list of things that aren't mandatory per se, but that are important to us and that occupy space in our minds. Time off and figuring out how to spend it. Whether or not we can squeeze in one last vacation before the start of the school year. House repairs, car maintenance, hair care, nail care, and anything else that falls under the category of pampering and self-care. Errands we need to run, doctor's appointments, therapy, our volunteer hours and responsibilities, who we need to call and check on this week, and maybe even what we're going to pick up from the grocery store on our way home from church. And then if we're given a little more time to think through those things that maybe aren't mandatory, but that frequently shift from our list of important things to things that we want to be mindful of, I imagine we'd say the news, the latest trends on social media, the lessons we take away from Sunday's sermon, no pressure. Or maybe we'd include a hard conversation we had in the last week or the one that we need to have this coming weekend, those conversations we often need to have with ourselves. And then, friends, we could add to all of that one more list. The list of things that weigh heavily on our hearts and our minds, from recent or prolonged diagnoses to processing grief and loss to managing the opinions of others, fear about this pandemic, overwhelm that comes with being in isolation, discomfort that comes with being around people again, and the list goes on. You see, there is no shortage of things competing for our attention, and I get that with so much happening to us and around us, sometimes we aren't always aware that we've kept God off of the list. But I want to be clear. God's presence in our lives is such that, and in everything we do, and in every place we go, and in every interaction we have, God's presence is with us. God's presence is always with us. The mystery of life, as one scholar puts it, is that over and over again, God chooses us. And in choosing us, God promises never to leave us. So my question to you today is less about God's commitment to us and more about our commitment to God. Because similar to the lists we made above, with all the things competing for our attention these days, I imagine if you aren't intentional about what you put on the list, you won't actually make time for it. You might not be as intentional about keeping it at the forefront of your mind. You might not be as intentional about making sure you are not so overcommitted to everything else that you find yourself uncommitted to God. Perhaps this is why Joshua pushes for the tribes of Israel gathered at Shechem to put God on the list. He says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You see, Joshua first makes a choice and then commands the people to make a choice too. A choice based on reminders of who God is and what God has done for them in the past. These are reminders to the people of Israel that over and over and over again, God has chosen them and in choosing them, promised to never leave them. Perhaps remembering to put God on the list starts for us today with the same kind of acknowledgement. Acknowledgement that in everything we've been through, God was with us. In everything we're going through right now, God is with us. In everything we will go through, God will be with us. The truth is, divine presence does not mean the absence of problems or pain, but it is the promise that even while we're in it, even while we're trying to make sense of it, and even while we acknowledge that some of it just doesn't make any sense at all, God has still chosen each and every one of us, and in the choosing, promises to never leave us or forsake us. You see, Joshua helps us to remember how good it is to remember, to call to memory the legacy of God's love for all of God's people, to call to memory those times when we may have been by ourselves, but we were never alone, to call to memory those times when God sat with us even while we were still experiencing tough times, to call to memory that in the good, the bad, and the in-between moments of our lives, God's presence remains. The people of Israel are reminded of all God has done for them, and then they are called to respond to that with a choice. Joshua reminds them that the proper response is to say thank you, or in this case, to worship. In our text for today, the Hebrew word is translated as both worship and serve, which suggests that a proper response to being recipients of God's unconditional love is to choose to worship and serve the Lord, which begs of us the question, what does it mean to serve God? When Joshua issues the mandate to choose this day whom you will serve, what really does that mean? Now, in the background of our text for this morning, there is this reminder that Israel's victory or conquest of the land means somebody else lost theirs. And while we don't want to diminish the depths of that loss and what it meant for an entire nation, this was a conquest, as Dennis Olson, Old Testament professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, put it, that was never based on Israel's inherent moral or religious superiority over the people of Canaan. And in a world where we have often seen the damage done due to misreadings and misinterpretations of texts like these, I think it's important to say that one more time. This conquest was never based on some inherent moral or religious superiority of one nation over another. Instead, the Canaanites lost their land because of centuries of wickedness and injustice against their own people. A reminder to the Israelites that they too would lose the land if they turned to wickedness and injustice. A reminder to us that while we embrace who God has been to us on one hand, we must also embrace who God calls us to be on the other. A people committed to being moral, kind, and just. Maybe you hear the words of Micah 6 and 8 whispering in the background. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? You see, putting God on the list requires us to consider what acts of justice, kindness, and humility are on our list. Perhaps that's the second thing for us to acknowledge this morning, that our lists of commitments and things competing for our attention are lacking if they do not explicitly include intentional acts of justice, kindness, and humility, because we cannot claim to choose God or to serve God if we are not focusing our attention on that which God deems important. Howard Thurman writes, commitment means that it is possible for a man to yield the nerve center of his consent to a purpose or cause, a movement, or an ideal which may be more important to him than whether he lives or dies. Thurman goes on to say the commitment is a self-conscious act of will by which he affirms his identification with what he is committed to. So to affirm our commitment to God then means to yield or surrender ourselves fully to a purpose or cause that is essentially more important than life itself. So friends, I ask the question again, what does it mean to serve the Lord? When Joshua issues the mandate to choose this day whom you will serve, what does Joshua really mean? Now, according to Thurman's explanation of commitment, which he also calls a spiritual discipline, it means that we give of our very selves to some kind of purpose or cause that is bigger than you and I, and that in doing so, we wrap up our identity in the God that we are committed to, which means we begin by making sure we understand who God is and about what God is concerned. That we become clear about the purposes or causes, movements, or ideals that are so important to God that committing to them is more important than our own priorities. This means, friends, that we think critically about those things that break God's heart and then making up our minds to care as deeply about those things as God does. It means challenging those purposes or causes, movements, or ideals that deem some life as worthy and other lives as worthless. It means looking at those things around us that are wicked and unjust and remembering that God calls us to work to eradicate what is wicked and unjust. It means, friends, giving our very selves over to whatever cause sees all life as sacred, as holy, as made in the image of God, as worthy, and as chosen. There is no shortage of purposes or causes, movements, or ideals from which to choose. Your news updates or social media trends have likely reminded you this week that poverty is still a problem. Our siblings across this world are hanging on from real and proverbial planes in search of life and safety. Countries are being devastated by natural disasters and are without the financial resources to recover, while our country has more money than makes sense. People are wondering from where their next meal will come, while others have the audacity to restrict the use of welfare dollars and attempt to cut off unemployment. Voter suppression still exists. We're still needing to remind the world that Black Lives Matter, that the fight for LGBTQ inclusion in our society is somehow still a question. There still exists a gap between the haves and the have-nots, and friends, that's just a few. You see, there is no shortage of purposes or causes, movements, or ideals from which to choose, but if we ever find ourselves confused about what breaks God's heart and should therefore break ours too, may we remember this, that any movement that sees all life as sacred, as holy, as made in the image of God, as worthy, and as chosen is the way to go. God calls each of us to work to eradicate what is wicked and unjust, and anything that deems some lives as worthy and other lives as worthless is wicked and unjust. But see, to do this, we have to choose this day whom we will serve. We too have to make the bold promise that we will also serve the Lord, for she is our God. We have to lay down all those commitments that distance us from God, and we have to stop making those commitments more important than serving God. We have to stop making excuses for why we can't worry ourselves with the things that worry God, and we have to stop choosing to prioritize our work over God's work, which means, friends, that you and I have to open our hearts to God. Verse 23 of our passage, which is not included in your bulletin reading for this morning, says this. Joshua says, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Joshua calls here for the people of Israel and for you and I to turn away from these foreign gods or those other things that we've made many gods out of, and to instead turn our hearts to the Lord. To take the very center of our decision-making and to, as one scholar notes, understand this call as one of personal conviction and not just outward conformity. A call to not just appear renewed on the outside, but to actually experience it on the inside. A call to make sure what we think, what we say, and what we do are all aligned. It requires a heart change that requires both inward and outward transformation. And so perhaps that is the third and final thing for us to acknowledge from our reading for this morning, that the call to put God on the list, that commitment to serving and worshiping God, is one that requires us to commit our hearts to God. To, like Thurman says, yield the nerve center of our being to a purpose greater than ourselves. To be so personally convicted by this call to commit that we fully surrender ourselves to God. That we really mean it when we sing, "All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." Friends, that we commit to an inward and outward transformation. That we step aside and really step away from this human tendency to idolize and prioritize everything else but God. That we consider this morning Howard Thurman's meditation on surrender. He writes, "I surrender myself to God without any conditions or reservations. I shall not bargain with God. I shall not make my surrender piecemeal, but I shall lay bare the very center of me, that all of my very being shall be charged with the creative energy of God. Little by little, or vast area by vast area, my life must be transmuted in the life of God. As this happens, I come into the meaning of true freedom, and the burdens that I seemed unable to bear are floated in the current of the life and love of God. The central element in communion with God is the act of self-surrender." And so, friends, I end here the same way I began. If I were to ask you to write out all of the things that are currently competing for your attention in life, or to list all of your commitments, how long would it take for you to name God? Would serving God make it on your list? Would God make the list at all? You see, maybe today isn't about shortening your list of commitments or even reducing the amount of things requiring your attention. I think that's a sermon for another day. But maybe this one is just about making sure God is somewhere on your list and then choosing to surrender our lists to God. Because you see, the mystery of life is that over and over and over again, God chooses us. And in choosing us, God promises to never leave us or forsake us. And so again, the question today is less about God's commitment to you and I, and it's more about our commitment to God. I pray we'll decide to incline our hearts to the Lord, to surrender ourselves fully, to yield the very nerve center of our being to a movement that is bigger than us, to give God our total commitment, to specifically choose to be so committed to God that we do not overcommit to anything else. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, to live fully, to serve all, and then repeat.